Okay, our first speaker tonight is a family man whom we love and know pretty well. He has four boys, isn't that right? Four mighty men who are being raised by a mighty dad. His name is Cedric Tanksley, his wife Kim. And we know the value of a family, and it takes a lot. And this guy is the dad of the year. This is Mother's Day, okay? Okay, so Mom's Day, we welcome Cedric. Praise God for him and his wife, his family. We love this guy. He's a police officer. He knows how to handle himself. Anybody out of order here tonight, he'll take you out. He will take you out, and we just love him and his family very much. Give him a great hand. God bless you.
Yeah.
Good evening to you all. So, this past semester, I took a homiletics, and in the class, Pastor Schaller asked a question. He said, how do you know God is real? The first word that came to my mind was experience. And that's what I want to talk to you about for a few minutes. Experience. And as I prepared for this tonight, the Spirit led me to a man named Job. Now, you know who Job is. Job was a blameless man, a man above reproach. A man who feared God, a man who tried to stay away from sin, doing evil. However, he had all the possessions in the world that a man could possibly want or ask for. But God still allowed the accuser, Satan, to be able to test Job. And Job lost all his possessions. If you open your Bible right now and turn to Job 42:5 with me right now. Job 42:5 reads as follows. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. See, it wasn't until he experienced those trials to where we start to fully identify or be able to connect or to become intimate with a situation, to where we can become more aware of a situation. And I'm here to tell you this. God doesn't allow us to get tests at all times to expose our weaknesses. But sometimes the test that we go through is to discover our strengths. And I want you to look at it like building a muscle. I know we all seen bodybuilders in here. But see, the first thing that happens is before a muscle can be built up, it first must be torn. It first must be broken before you can build it up. And there's three things that you experience when you're walking with God. And the first one is God reroutes your life. See, he reroutes your life because one, he changes your heart. Right, he changes your hearts. He renews our vision. And the next thing that he does is he transforms our mind. The second thing I want you to understand is he gives you the relationship that we yearn for. We all out here trying to find out if we compatible with one another. And God is saying, my arms is open. Have a relationship with me. Seek me first. I can give you everything that you possibly need or want. And the third thing that he gives you is rest. In his word, it says, those who keep their mind on me, I will keep them in what? Perfect peace. And in my closing, I want you to understand this. Dr. Cross said this many years ago, and it always stayed with me. He said this, don't just take my word for it. Do your own study. Allow God to work in you and through you. Translation, just because he was a great pastor doesn't mean you just take his word for it. Do your own study. That way you can experience God for yourself. And then God can work in you and through you. And guess what you'll have? You'll have proof that God is real. I thank you all for this time.
Thank you, Cedric. That was great. Wasn't that good? Boy, he's a police officer. I would cooperate with him all the way, no questions asked. Whatever you say. I'll put the handcuffs on myself. Hey, we just came back from our spring youth rally. Yeah. And it's been, I'll tell you, it's been 2 years since we've been able to do that. And it was just fantastic. We did not hold this rally where we typically would go, which was up in the Pocono Mountains. We were planning to go there, but it didn't work out. They kind of closed the door on us. So we went down to the Eastern Shore, Camp Pocomoth. And, you know, we thought, you know, when we go to the Poconos, it's quite cold, you know, in the early May, you know, there's not a lot of leaves on the trees. And we thought we're going to go to Camp Pocono and it's going to be like 30 degrees warmer. Boy, were we wrong. We froze, but we had the time of our lives. I mean, it was really amazing. And I realized the young people themselves, they needed a weekend like that, right? Because they have been so isolated over the course of this last year and 2 or 3 months. So they needed it so badly. And then I realized we needed it too. We needed to be there with them and to see what God would do. And I'll tell you, we had a lot of first-time campers come with us. Maybe it was because they were not old enough, but now they are old enough and they were able to go. But some of them, it was just their first time doing anything with us as a ministry. And you should have heard the testimonies from these young people last night around the campfire. I mean, one of the young people, and Jerry is one of the young ladies that, you know, you brought up to the camp. It never been to anything before, right? And she said this, she goes, I never knew there was a place like this where people could love you and accept you and care for you and be so kind to you. And we heard testimony after testimony after testimony about what God was doing in their lives. And again, we did not have a record turnout because some ministries just couldn't come. They couldn't make it. It was a lot further away for some of the New England ministries, so they weren't able to make it. But the ones that came, and there were probably, I think, 130, 140 of us, it was just amazing. So I know many of you were praying, and the youth ministry staff, as usual, laid down their lives. And these cabins, well, you know, the camp itself is not quite what we were used to. We had a real top-notch camp up there in the Poconos. So we shared, the kids shared their cabins with a few mice and, you know, a few other, you know, rodents, but they embraced them also and loved them and just had a wonderful time. But really, it was a great weekend and we're just so thankful. And also what we did is that we put together a video promoting camp life this summer in the month of August. And when the kids saw that video, and essentially what it said was, camp life is back, they went crazy. They just said, oh, we cannot wait. So we're anticipating an amazing camp life this summer. And the spring rally is kind of like a springboard to get us there. So thank you for your prayers. And if some of you supported those young people to get to this camp, believe me, it was an eternal investment. So thank you so much. And we're going to pray for the offering right now. So would you join with me as we pray? Father, thank you. Thank you so much for what happened this weekend down in the Eastern Shore at that camp. Eternal dividends, I'm sure of it. Lives touched and changed, absolutely. Transformed minds, no question about it. We're so grateful, Lord, that, you know, some churches that closed during the pandemic may never open again. We're grateful that in one sense, we never really closed. We kept meeting online and then in person. And it's kind of nice to think that this pandemic, although not completely gone and removed, but it seems to be further and further in our rearview mirror. And for that, we are grateful because we need to reach out as a ministry and touch more lives with the gospel. We need to see more young people challenged so that they don't become conformed to this culture and to this world system, but they can be renewed with minds that are changed and lives that live for the glory of God. Father, thank you for what you're doing in our work, in our ministry, the work of reaching people here in this city, in this state, in this country, and around the globe. Please bless our offering tonight. Bless our giving tonight, Lord. We want to see this kind of work continue, and we ask your blessing upon it. Take it and multiply it and use it to glorify your name. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
How are you tonight? Good?
Awesome.
You're okay?
Yeah.
Because you're in God, right? Wow. I read this verse today, and I'm not going to preach on it, but it just brought it to my mind. In God, I will praise his word. You know, we praise the Lord, but he says in Psalm 56, in God, I will praise his word. Luke 17, just one verse, and it's verse 5. And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Say that, increase my faith. I can't increase it. Increase our faith. Father, thank you. We do pray, God, and we thank you for this ministry worldwide that really just reveals the faith of the Son of God. We think about 80 countries, 764 churches, and men and women of God who have simply believed God and gone forward, and God is blessed. Fruit is born. Disciples are made. Souls are won. Churches are planted. Christian schools are open. Bible schools established. Orphanages. Farms. Just a great work of faith. We thank you that we can be a part of this work of faith. It's a work of faith. A labor of love. Thank you for the decades of Dr. Stevens and his faith, and Pastor Schaller and his faith, and the elders in the church, and the body of Christ, body, life, faith. Thank you, God. One day, maybe we know now, but one day we will really see the faith of God in this ministry. How it just went around the world with the message. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I'd like just Susie and Andrew to stand up. I love them. Just stand, please. Come on now. Hopefully I'll be in Mumbai. And the faith that his father and her husband had was amazing. I think 159 churches from Mumbai, if I count correctly, which I usually do. 159 churches out of one place called Mumbai. And that's amazing. To think about it. And he studied here, and he was he's a man of faith, a man of faith. And they're a family of faith. And in this portion of Scripture, they're asking a question, and they've seen some things take place. And maybe they felt like a little bit like in a place where I just need faith. And they would look at the life of Christ, and they would say, increase our faith. Just increase our faith. Isn't that our prayer? Hello?
Yes.
You here tonight?
Okay. Yeah.
I can't see so well because the lights are blinding, but that's okay. You're right here. Okay. So increase our faith. And this is so key. I don't want to stay in the same place I was. Thank God we can have faith and then build upon it. But I don't want to remain in the same place of faith as I was in 1976 or 1977 or 87 or 97 or 2007 or 2017 or yesterday. I would like to increase. I'd like to grow. I want to grow in my faith, in God's faith in me, and really go to the source of that faith. And I think it's so incredible. And we know that without faith, and you can think about this verse, without faith, it's impossible to please God. That's a verse that is interesting, isn't it? So we can't please God without faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But then I love this verse, Matthew 17:5. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. So that tells me the faith is in Jesus. The faith is in God. Because he's well pleased in the son, and then he is pleased when we have faith, faith in God himself. Faith in God himself, not faith in the system, not faith in something, you know, some miracle that happened, and that can be a work of faith, but faith in God. And so as a believer and as a church and as a ministry, increase our what? Increase our faith. Increase our faith. What a prayer that is. How many of you think God would answer that prayer? Yes, he will. He gives you all the sources to have our faith increased. Increase our faith. Increase our faith. How does that take place? I think tonight, today, this morning, 9/11, Wednesday night, Bible school, faith cometh by what?
Hearing.
Wow. Would you say?
Hearing.
Hearing what?
Word.
Fox News?
Word.
Newspapers? Music?
No.
Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. That means the only time I'm really hearing is when I'm hearing the word of God. Now that's interesting. So I'm around the word. I study the word. I listen to the word being preached. I can teach the word to people. And faith, that's how it comes. Faith. It's amazing how many Christians today can do without this book. See this book? It's called the what? It's called the Word of God, the Bible. And yet today, sad to say, if Satan could steal anything from the church or from a believer, guess what he's going to steal? The Bible. Just take the Bible out, not steal it permanently so that we would say it's not the Word of God. We wouldn't, you know, but we would just not have time in the Bible. Let me steal their time in the Scriptures. And usually the enemy can steal that time by having us be active in Christian things, but not in the Word. Faith cometh by
hearing.
Hearing the Word of God. And so when I'm reading the Bible, I'm what? I'm hearing what God is saying through the Holy Spirit. When I come to church, and praise the Lord for this church and this ministry for decades, I remember a message you preached on faith from Hebrews chapter 11 in Starreton Chapel in 1979. You remember that message? I remember it. Hebrews 11. It was Hebrews 11, Starreton Chapel. Remember that big thing? It was sometimes people would get up in that. Sky used to get up there and sing way up in that, whatever that was. What do they call those things? No, it was not a pulpit. It was like a pulpit, but it was like you had to climb up about like 15 feet. And that's how it used to be. But you preached the message on faith. That message is what really brought me to the place of thinking and believing God for missions. It was an amazing message on Hebrews 11:1 and 11:6 and 11:27. Faith. Faith cometh by
hearing.
Do I want to please God? Do I want to please God?
Yes.
How's it happen? Hearing God's word. Listening to God's word. Not allowing everything in life to distract me from God's word. And it's so easy for it to happen. So easy for it to happen. Satan is a master at trying to steal the scriptures. From a Christian, from a church, from a father, from a pastor, from a teacher, whatever it may be. Let me do everything I can to get them occupied with anything but the scriptures. Hello? You can watch down through the centuries of Christianity when the Bible was not exalted and the Bible was not lifted up and the Bible wasn't esteemed. Job said, I have esteemed the word more than that which is, it doesn't say food. It says more than what's necessary. Food's in italics. It's not food. More than what I think is necessary. because I want to walk by faith and live by faith, and I want to please God. I would desire with my life to please God. But it's not going to happen without faith. And faith is not going to happen without what?
Hearing
the word of God. The word. You say, well, we know that. Okay, I know that too, but I need to hear it continually in my life. I need to hear it all the time because it's so easy for me to get occupied. I can get occupied with this problem and that problem, and they're legitimate spiritual problems. But if I don't have anything from the word, I've got nothing for the problem. Are you with me? I don't have God's mind for the problem. Philippians chapter 2, Paul talked to a church that had unbelievable trouble. Their apostle was in jail. Their pastor was sick and dying. There were two women trying to divide the church. The Jews, the Greeks, and the Romans were just trying to come in and rip away all that was valuable in Christianity. And what did Paul say? Let this, what? Mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. What was the answer for their problems? Was it prayer? Nothing wrong with prayer. Of course, but it wasn't prayer. It was the word. It was the mind of God. This was so key to that church. So when I'm going through situations, I want to listen to the word. I want to hear the word being preached. I don't want to miss church service. And obviously, I'm talking to the choir because you're here on Sunday night. But there are so many Christians that can just take or leave. Across America and across the world, they can take or leave the word of God. It doesn't seem to be that important. And somehow they've been infected in their mind that it's not. But that's how what comes? What comes by the word? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And without faith, it's impossible to what? To please God. To please God. This is so key. I want to please God. How does it happen? How does it happen? By some things that I do or whatever takes place in life and some of the details? No. By hearing God's word. Lord, increase our faith. Well, apostles, keep listening. Amen? Lord, increase our faith. Keep listening. Keep listening to God's word. And there are so many things that could maybe have occupied them. With what was going on. Trials. What happens in a trial or in trouble? Anybody ever been in any trouble? Hello? You haven't? It's coming. Trouble. Huh? In this world you shall have? Oh, really? Is that what the Bible says? But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. I did find thy word and I ate it, and it was a joy and rejoicing to my soul, for I'm called by your name. In trouble, in trials, in tests, in warfare, in difficulties, I got the scriptures. I need faith in those situations. And faith cometh by hearing. Increase my faith. Some people want it to be something like, you know, hyper-spiritual magic. Yeah, just pray for me and my faith will increase. No, it doesn't happen like that. I can pray that you go to the source, amen? You go to the source, which is the word of God. Number two, source number two, faith, Galatians 5:6, works by, energeo was the word, is energized and has its source in love. How do I grow in faith? Let God love you. Are you here tonight?
Amen.
Let God love you. That's why Jesus said to Peter in John 21, do you love me? I know I love you. Do you love me? Because I know I can trust you to feed my sheep and walk by faith and lead the apostles. Because you'll be able to live by faith if you are experiencing God's love. God's love. I need to be in a place where I am constantly receiving from God's love. Regardless of what's happening. Well, God doesn't love me. You don't know what's happening with my life. You don't know what I did. You don't know what I did, what I'm doing, or what I'm going to do. God loves you what is it? Unconditionally. It's unending. It's unlimited. When I really grasp how much God loves me through the ministry of the Holy Spirit in Romans 5, 5 and 8. How much God loves me, I trust him. Hello? You trust somebody who loves you?
Say, well, I don't know about that.
Yes, you do. You trust somebody who loves you. Loves you unconditionally, unending, unlimited. It's incredible. I trust him. I have faith in him because he loves me. He's not going to let this or that take place unless it's for my own good. God loves me. And boy, there's another thing the enemy would try to rip out of our lives based upon how we think or what we're doing. God's love for Israel. Can you imagine? Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. God loves them while they're crucifying him. Hello? Are you there? The source of faith, God's love, that incredible agape love, the quality and the manner and the way that he loves us produces in me a trust for him. We trust him. Maybe I don't have faith because I'm not letting God love me. See, I have to make a decision to say, yes, God, love me today. Love me now. Love me, regardless of what's happening. I know you love me. Say it. I know God loves me. I really know God loves me. I absolutely know God loves me.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. I don't care what your flesh says, what the devil says, or what the world says. God loves me. And that gives me trust. It produces faith in my life. Galatians 2:20 says, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. God loves me. Source number three, church, body life. Are you with me? Body life. 2 Peter 1:1, we have like precious faith. 1 Thessalonians 3:7 and 8, because you live by faith, we stand. You know, if it wasn't for the body and the church, I would have no faith. We need each other. Amen? We're around the body because the body produces what? Faith. Faith. Barnabas sees Paul's faith. Peter sees Paul's faith. Paul sees Peter's faith. James and John see the faith of the church and people in the church. They see Stephen's faith. They see down through the ages with missions. And you can see people that have been planting churches and missionaries around the world. I read those missionary biographies and it produces what?
Faith.
Wow, I read about Judson. I read about Hudson Taylor. I read about C.T. Studd. I read about Jonathan Goforth. And it's the body. But I'm talking about the local church. You want to live? You want to please? How many want to please God? You want to please God? It means living by faith. Living by faith means coming to the what? Church. Body. The body of Christ. We need each other. Look at the person next to you and say, I need you. Come on now. I need you. We need each other. Are we doing that up here? You got that, Cedric? I need you, Cedric. You need me, I need you. Body life. It's incredible. The church life, an anointing, a power, an evidence. We've got each other. The world is a mess out there. You think there's any faith out there? There's no faith out there. Not at all. Nothing. It's got nothing to do with God. Not at all. It's got human faith. I preached a message one time called Scarecrow Faith. It can work for a minute, but eventually the birds get it. They realize that's not a person. That's a scarecrow. Scarecrow faith. It's just a substitute. It's not faith at all. We need each other. Hallelujah. I know you. I'm telling you everything you know, but I need to know it more and more as the day is approaching. We need each other. Being alone is like, you got to be kidding me. Sometimes I have to fly in those airplanes. We just figured it out. I've flown 3 million miles since 1986. 3 million miles. And a lot of times you're alone on the plane. And you just can't wait to get back to the church. Can't wait to get back to my wife. Can't wait to get back to the church. Can't wait to get back to the body. Because on the plane, Well, I'm sure there might be some Christians there, but boy, it's like you're surrounded. You're in an atmosphere of unbelief. You know what? You know what's surrounding us? An atmosphere of what? Unbelief. And I love what Hebrews chapter 11, or chapter 12, verse 1 says, seeing we are compassed about, we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. We're so thankful as pastors that we're surrounded by you. Amen? Amen. Can you say hallelujah? We're surrounded by you. You are a great cloud of witnesses. I think about the faith of Kathy Ryan. Did I just say that? I think about the faith of Isabel Palmieri. I think about the faith of Susie and Andrew. I think about the faith of Pastor Angelonis. I think about the faith of Pastor Steve Murillo. I think about the faith of people that are out there, Leon and his wife. I think about their faith. And when we think about it, we're surrounded. We are surrounded. What an amazing thing. I'm not surrounded by the atmosphere of unbelief. It's out there, but I'm surrounded. It's surround sound, isn't it? I'm surrounded by faith. It's body life. It's the church. It's faith. Next, the Holy Spirit. Born again, who lives in us?
Lord.
Who lives in us? Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit lives in us? Born of the Spirit? Let me ask you a question. Does the Spirit have faith? Sure about that? Yeah. Spirit's in me. Spirit has faith. Wow. Seeing we have the same spirit of faith. 2 Corinthians 4:13. We have the spirit of faith. Galatians 5:22. The Holy Spirit has faith. All I need to do is yield to the Holy Spirit. When I find myself living in unbelief, it's my old sin nature. It's that which is around me that's not of God. And I say, Holy Spirit, I'm born again. I'm a new person in Christ. The new person trusts God. The new person has faith. The Holy Spirit has faith. The Holy Spirit points to Jesus Christ. The Spirit has faith. God, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Lead me by the Holy Spirit. Touch me through the Holy Spirit. Speak to me by the Spirit. Teach me through the Spirit. Help me through the Spirit. Because the Spirit has faith. Look at the sources we've got. The Word, love, the body, the Spirit. Number 5. We've got the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. We look at the life of Christ. And he had such faith. He was so faithful to his Father in the plan. He took abuse. He took rejection. He took people denying him and walking away from him. But when you look at the faithfulness of God, that becomes a great source of your faith and my faith. We see him in the Gospels. We see him in the Scriptures. He's in the Word of God. He's in the Scriptures. Lo, I come in the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will. Psalm 40, verse 7 and 8. John 5:39. He's in the Scriptures. I see his faithfulness, and he becomes a source for my life. See, I got all the sources. I got the sources. Can you say amen? Come on now. I know it's Sunday night. I know. I know Monday's coming, but it might not even get here. You don't even know. We've got the faithfulness of God. Next, we've got a message, don't we? The gospel produces faith. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to all those who believe. We've got the message of the gospel. I got good news for people. I don't have bad news about taxes. I don't have bad news about pandemics. I don't have bad news about this and about that that's going on in wars and rumors of wars and all kinds of troubles and problems in this world. I got the gospel. I've got good news, and this good news, when people hear it, produces what? Faith. I love, you know why? You know what I love about evangelism? I get to hear the message over and over again every time I say it. I go, yeah, I believe that. Yeah, I believed that, and yeah, I believe it today. The gospel produces faith. When I hear how people respond to the gospel, when I hear about what's going on in Asia, what's going on in, I can say it, China. What's going on with the churches in China? What's taking place? I got a newsletter from Doug and Bethany. And just reading the newsletter, wow, I heard about the gospel. And what they're doing is Cambodia, right? They're in Cambodia. And what's taking place in Cambodia? And that news about the gospel produces something in me. It's called what?
Faith.
Faith in God. Not faith in me, not faith in the world, not faith sourced in a person, but faith in God. And I hear that news. I hear about two orphans that got married and went to Chad as missionaries after they went to Bible school. You know what that news does to me? Produces what?
Faith.
Produces faith in me. I listen. I read about what's taking place in Europe and Eastern Europe and South America and what's going on here and what's going on there. And I talk to Pastor Julian and I speak with Pastor Anus in Haiti, and we talk to Costa Rica, and we're talking to this person and that person around the world, and I hear all the news of everything that's going on, and it's gospel news, and it produces in you and in me what?
Faith.
Faith. What a source. It's amazing the sources we have. Sources we have of faith. And finally, source number 7, that which is eternal. Deuteronomy 33:27, the Bible says, the eternal God is our refuge and our strength, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Moses endured in Hebrews 11:27, seeing he who was what? Invisible. When I know I have eternal life and I'm going to spend eternity with God, and I can focus on the things that are eternal, not temporal, not that which is passing away, but on the things that are eternal, you know what it does in my life? Produces what?
Faith.
Faith. Are you still here?
Yeah.
Faith. Faith. Produces faith. I've got the sources. Lord, increase our faith. Hey, apostles, go to the source. And it's all in God, isn't it? It's all in God himself. All you have to do is receive from the source. We are believers because we are receivers. We are believers because we are receivers. So constantly receive from the sources and watch your faith grow, and how much God is pleased by not only this church, but by every single precious body member in this church. Let's go forward in what?
In
faith. No backwards. C.T. Studd says, backwards never, forward forever. Backwards? Nope, not going there. Forward forever. Thank God for his faith. Thank God for the faith in this ministry, which is the faith of the Son of God. Amen?
Amen.
Father, thank you tonight. Thank you for faith. Thank you for the sources of faith. Thank you. Lord, increase our faith, they said. Paul simply said in Acts 27:25, I believe God. Just 3 words. I believe God. There's I on one side, there's God on the other, and there's believe in the middle. It's just simple faith. Simple faith, we preached many years ago, defeats sophisticated darkness. Simple faith defeats sophisticated darkness. Just like that. Thank you, God. Thank you. Help us, God, to grow in being receptive to the sources, to your word, your love, your body, your church, your spirit, your faithfulness, your gospel, and that which is eternal. Help us to be receivers. Receivers. Not to just say, I went to church Sunday night, yeah, I heard something. But be receivers. To receive it with meekness, the engrafted, implanted word which can deliver my soul from unbelief. Oh, it's so easy to not believe. But it's much easier to receive the sources of faith and grow in pleasing God. Lord, increase our faith. He says, go to the source. We pray tonight, if there's anyone here who is not born again, Jesus loves you tonight. Love produces faith. You can trust him tonight. The word, the love, the spirit, you can trust him tonight. That's the gospel. Say, Jesus, save me. I want to be born again, born of the spirit. I trust in you tonight as my personal savior. That's your prayer with our eyes closed, our heads bowed. Just put your hand up. Jesus, save me. On the internet, maybe you're watching. Maybe you've never really believed. Maybe you've come close. Maybe you've made some acknowledgement that God is true, but say, Jesus, save me tonight. I believe in you. Hearing this message 5 years from now, maybe you're an unbeliever. Then say, Jesus, I believe. Simply, I believe. I believe God. That shall be even as he told me. Father, thank you tonight. Would you just quietly stand with me and let's just pray that God will touch people tonight. Let's pray for healing tonight. Maybe there's something going on in your physical body, in your emotions, in your mind. Just simply say, Jesus, I believe tonight. I believe that you will touch me tonight. I trust in you. It's not my emotions. It's me trusting you. It may not happen right now, and it might happen right now. It might be later, but I believe. Say it. I believe God. I believe God. I believe God. Believe God for souls. Believe God for new disciples. Believe God for church growth. Believe God for health. Believe God for healing. Believe God to deliver me from insecurity, fear. Jesus said it 4 times in the scriptures, O you of little faith. Oh, how little faith you have in me. They were anxious, O you of little faith. They lived in fear, O you of little faith. They doubted, he said, O you of little faith. They had human reason, he said, O you of little faith. How he said it was very simply like this. Oh, how little faith you have in me. He was broken by it. They had such little faith in him. Help us to go to the source. No matter what situation we are in, no matter what's going on around us or in us, have faith in God. Receive his faith. Lord, increase our faith. We thank you tonight. Thank you for the great faith of Matthew 8. Centurion, the great faith of the Syrophoenician woman. Thank you, God, for that great faith is sourced in a great God, in the great Jesus Christ. We thank you tonight. In his name we pray, amen.